I'm on a quest to find out more about this guy's Emmy win.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
All right, you guys, welcome on into To The Point with Kristen Burt. Did you see what I did there? I'm on a quest. I thought I was pretty clever. Now, of course, we are presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network, and we are thrilled to have this guy in studio, Steve Tirada from Quest Crew.
Hey, how you doing?
Emmy Award-winning Quest Crew. We were just talking about that. I'm like, you will always have that title.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I was just about to tell you before we went live on air, I'm like, if I won an Emmy, I would have it attached right here all day and just be like, did you know I won an Emmy?
What's on my Instagram handle? But, you know.
That's okay. You should have it on your Instagram handle, and you should have it. I'd have it in every profile photo, me posing with it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And I appreciate you being here. We were going to have a few more of the crew, but guess what? They got some work today, so
yep.
That's all good. That is nature of the business, isn't it? For sure.
Definitely. Like, everyone's doing so many different things. It's a good thing.
It is. It's a good problem, but I'm glad that you were able to make it for sure.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I always like to kind of hear everybody's background and like how they started, because I know that obviously you're a martial artist, and I think that's where a lot of your talent and movement really comes from. Tell us about like when you got started in martial arts and when you got started in dance, because they really kind of overlap each other.
Yeah, actually, I started martial arts when I was 9 and just did traditional for a long time, and I joined the demo team, which is like a performance group. So it's not necessarily just the traditional stuff. Mm-hmm. You do routines, fight scenes, and that was my first step into choreography and live shows.
Boy, I love that.
And from there, I went on the National Karate Circuit, NASCA, and got sponsored, got to travel all over the place. And they had a division called Musical Forms, which is basically you make your own routines up using martial arts technique to music. So that was my first step into choreography.
That's fascinating, actually. How old were you when you made the national team and then were starting to do your own choreography?
I started traveling when I was 14, and I started doing the full tour when I got picked up by Team Paul Mitchell, the hair people that do world
That's why
dance
you have good hair, too.
And when I was 17. So I got from 17 till about 25, I was competing on that while I was starting to dance during that time, too.
And this is what I always love. I'm like, when did you step into that first dance class then? Where what made you think that you needed to step into dance class?
Well, it was mostly a social thing, like a lot of people. Since I was traveling so much, even during high school time, I didn't have as many friends locally in the Southern California area, which is where I grew up. And Jess, my sister, went to UCLA, and during that time, I didn't know, but there was a big Asian community of dancers, and just socially in general, I wanted to like hang out with more people because I didn't really have the typical college life. Because
you were looking for your people, your tribe here. Yeah. You know, you're like, I need a group of friends, because when you're a teen, like that social life is a lot. It's a lot of who you are.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, I just got into it from my sister, because she knew that I performed, and then her group was performing in Santa Barbara, which was passing me, and they just picked me up, and then I did a little solo and fell in love with just performing with a group again.
So here's a good question. So was your sister was a dancer, or did she train all growing up, or did she pick it up a little later on?
She got into hip-hop during college time. I think a lot of people, especially during my era, they didn't dance before. Mm-hmm. A lot of people from my dance group Quest, they started in Irvine, where they had Cabo Modern, and a couple of our guys were from CADC, and everyone kind of picked up learning dance during that time. I think about like half of us did it after high school.
That's amazing. I love that, because, you know, oftentimes you talk to a contemporary dancer, they're like, I've been in class since I was 2. And then, you know, and then I started taking 10 dance classes. I mean, that is their entire livelihood when it comes to, you know, junior high and high school years. Like, that's what they're doing. And but tell us, and this is what I'm always fascinated with, because I think we saw a lot of this even with Lex's style this season on So You Think You Can Dance. How dance and martial arts, I mean, obviously there's a lot of qualities that are similar, but what do you find most similar?
I think the discipline. When I was competing in martial arts, I had a drive to perfect my technique, and learn new movements. So in that open space, the creative space as well, is just when you're chipping away at things and you discover new movement, it gives you excitement, and the same type of expression that you, and expression and release that you get from dance is the same in open martial arts.
You know, it's so fascinating to me because I was trained as a ballet dancer, and I find that martial arts have such a beautiful lyrical quality, which is something that I really love about ballet. And so I find that a lot of even the aerial work, a lot of the jumps and everything, I'm mesmerized by, and I'm like, I wish I could do that. But I think I feel like if I could train on it, I'm like, I could do it. I just know I could do it eventually. How hard is it to learn some of those tricks?
It depends how much you you're open to new types of movement, because I've trained with a lot of dancers trying to get into tricking and all the aerial stuff, and the ones that do the best are the ones that just completely let it go, and
you have to let go of your technique a little bit, right?
Technique, because a lot of tricking is momentum based, so these circular motions are a little bit different than making straight lines all the time.
Pointing the toe.
Pointing the toe.
That would be.
There is pointing of the toe in tricking too, but it's not as technical as that. It's more of a guided momentum.
Okay, that's interesting. Because I'm like paranoid about like ever flexing my feet, like when it's supposed to be a pointed foot. So I would literally have to be like, don't worry about it. Like, just make it happen. Mm-hmm. That would be probably my issue.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It's another self-expression thing. So I think it's closer to like b-boying, when everyone has all these different types of styles. Even though it has a martial arts base into it, it's more of a self-expression thing now that the community is a little bit bigger.
Fascinating. I love that. You know, I always want to know too, like, obviously you're getting into hip-hop. Did you dive into the ballet, tap class, jazz class at all?
I think as Quest in general, we always try, if you look at every member in Quest, we have different skills. We don't dance the same at all.
Right.
So we're very open into learning different movements from other people. I mean, you know, like on when we were on America's Best Dance Crew the last season, we actually took privates with Bo from Fanny Pack and Culture Shock
to learn
you know, to do our girl piece. So we're open to pretty much anything, and looking like fools at the start, and then just chipping away at it.
But that's what you have to be, a constant student if you're going to get better or grow as artists. You can't just say like, this is our style, we're good.
Definitely.
I mean, and I think I'm sure you guys saw that between season 3 and then coming back for season 8.
Yeah, so I think in general, just as artists too, if you want to continue, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, and not trying to progress yourself, it's a little bit, it becomes unfulfilling. Like when we were touring all that time after the first time that we won ABDC, we were like, oh, we have to do this show again. It's like, that's why I think in our mindset, we always want to expand ourselves.
Did you do the thing, I used to do musical theater, and, you know, when you have, like, 8 shows a week and your brain is just, you're like, you just know how to move, your body remembers it, and you're like, I can't wait till later, I'm going to have mac and cheese, and I'm going to watch Seinfeld. Like, you literally can do movement, not think about it, and think about, like, other things that are going to happen later.
Yeah, I think in general, your muscle memory just takes over, and it's like you're doing your movements in rote. You're just doing it. So for us, it's kind of funny that when we were doing the same routine so many times, we would try and hype ourselves up and talk during the sets to each other and be like, oh, like you know, just like,
hey,
all right, we're in this huddle. We're like, ah, we're hyping each other up.
You just stay present. Just yeah.
So I think that helped us become present with the audience too. And we interact a lot. So like in our shows, we don't necessarily think of it as a dance company show. It's usually just for entertainment,
right?
So we do a lot of like interacting energy wise with the crowd and with ourselves.
It helps a lot too, because I think then they feel a part of it. It's not like you're like, we're dancing at you. Instead, it feels like we're all dancing
exactly
with you. Yeah, that's such a big thing. So when did Quest Crew really come together as a group? How far into, like, you're 17 at this point, taking hip-hop classes with your sister, what point did you start going, okay, maybe I want to do something more with this?
I think for me, it was a different path, just because I made friends. And that's kind of the basis of what Quest was. we, like I said, at the, when we first started, we didn't aspire to be like, we're going to be the best crew ever and do all this other things. We were just a group of friends, and we weren't trying to recruit other people that were like, oh, that guy's the best dancer, let's try and get him. Right. It was literally like us hanging out. And I think if you watch any of our practices, you'll understand that we mess around for about 90% of the time and then set everything maybe like the last 10% because our creative process is that we have friendship chemistry, and that's why how we understand each other. So yeah, I think when we had our like-minded individuals in our crew come together, that was 2006.
Okay.
And in October, we had a Halloween show. So we just had our 11-year anniversary during Halloween.
Oh, I love
Halloween,
that. So we did. Where did you do your first Halloween show? Was it here in the LA area?
Yes. It was at a club called Ivar at the time. It's now Project LA. But we had six of us. One of our members, Victor, wasn't even old enough to get in the club at the time, which is insane.
Did he get carded?
No, he couldn't do the show with us. He was part of the crew, but so he couldn't come in.
Aww.
He was 20.
Oh man, that's so sad.
Yeah, so that was our first show. We're like, oh, we didn't even have a name at that point, but the Quest Learning Center was donating their studio to us, and as a way to give back to them, we named ourselves Quest, and we wanted to promote their learning center.
And let's just tell everyone what Quest Learning Center is, because it's a really cool facility in Artesia, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Because they do a little bit of everything, don't they?
Yeah, they do after-school programs. They have some dance programs. They have karaoke night. The owners, the Wu family, are just amazing people. And, you know, we're so thankful that during that early time, they would let us practice there.
It's amazing. Those nice studios, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Even though it's 65 miles away from my house that I had to drive there every day, I still cherish those times the most out of my whole entire dance career.
And 4 hours sitting in traffic in L.A. Yeah, when you look at L.A. is just really big and spread out for those of you who aren't from L.A. And it's getting from Artesia to where you live in California. Not easy. It's not. But when someone's donating space to you, it's a really big deal because studio space can add up very quickly if you're trying to rehearse all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that was the biggest thing that we had that helped our crew progress, was just that extra time. Sometimes we would just meet up over there and hang around the area and just bond. And like I said, like Quest in general, how our creative processes are, is all based on chemistry. And a little bit of practicing. but don't get me wrong, we practiced. But
you're like, I promise we did. You guys are good. Don't worry. We're good. You have an Emmy. It's all good. But here's the thing. When America's Best Dance Crew came around for season one, mm-hmm. you guys did season three first time around. Did the idea pop into your head, or were you guys recruited? Because I know a lot of times producers really go out and start hitting people up saying, are you interested? We'd love for you to audition for the show.
Yeah, actually, the first season we did audition, and we were actually slated to be in the first season.
I didn't know this.
But you're getting the real exclusive right
now. I love this. But, dun, dun, dun. We need exclusive music.
But we had Dom and Hawk that were on So You Think You Can Dance, and it was still under that limitation. And we were trying to get on. We had a package. We shot a package for the whole thing, and then we weren't able to do it. So we
was
waited.
It because of, and I just want to ask, because we were talking about contracts earlier, was it because of their So You Think You Can Dance contract?
During that time it was less than a year. They just got off tour, and then we immediately auditioned without really knowing. So
yeah, so just so people know, reality show contracts kind of hold you to the network that you are under for usually a year. We'll just say that in general, maybe about 12 months. So oftentimes you can't go off and do things, although sometimes networks will play nice. ABC has played nice with Fox and allowing, you know, So You Think people going on Dancing with the Stars, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, that's just a learning process too, because during that time, all the guys in the crew, we weren't in the industry at all as well. So we were going through a learning process, and that was kind of the first seasons of dance reality during that time. So just going through that process, it was a learning experience for us. But I think in general, it helped us a lot, because for prepping for America's Best Dance Crew, because we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. Right. And we got to study the first two seasons knowing that the format was going to be the way that it was. Because when we first auditioned, it was just up in the air. We threw everything that we had into our first routine.
The kitchen sink is in there.
And then if we went on the first season, we would have ran out of stuff for sure.
Isn't that funny? It's kind of nice sometimes allowing someone else to come before so that you can go, okay, we need to pace ourselves so that we can stay in for the long haul.
Definitely, definitely. It's something to be had that you put other people's experiences and learn from them.
So season one, we know Jabberwocky's one, which I, you know, yeah. That's legend, history, all of that. And then season two, it's Super Crew.
Yeah.
How come you guys didn't make it to season two? Did you not audition? Do you have a story behind that?
Oh, we just didn't audition. Like I said, after the first season, we're like, wow, okay. We actually used that first year to train together. That was our goal, was to get on the show and we wanted to win. So instead of just leaving it up to the dance gods, we trained religiously, thanks to Quest Learning Center. And
thank you so much, Quest.
going there all the time and actually doing the prep work for it and getting new moves and ideas and possible things that would be thrown at us.
So I hope people are listening to this. Like, you actually, instead of just gunning for season two, you guys went to the studio and practiced and got to the level where you think you needed for season three.
Definitely, yes.
It's an important lesson, honestly. Because you go into season three, were you guys feeling good and strong when you were first starting the season?
Yeah, we felt confident because we knew the amount of ammunition that we had to that would last the whole entire season, almost pretty much, depending on what challenges we had. Mm-hmm. We had enough to get through it at least, and then also work on different things. Not saying that it was smooth the whole entire process,
because
every week you only have maybe 3 days to choreograph, and then you're stage blocking. It definitely helped us, but I can't imagine if we didn't do that prep work, we would have been crying and not sleeping.
Well, and I think, too, it tests you as a group because everyone handles stress differently. Mm-hmm. And when you have that 3-day crunch of, like, we need to come up with a routine and clean it, and then we're on stage camera blocking, you start finding out what everyone, you know, how they handle it all and what you're worth as a group. And you're like, okay, we got this. We're calm. Just calm down. Yeah. Gets important.
Yeah, I think on the second time that we were on the show, we instead of a year's worth of prep, I think we did maybe four months of going back and forth, and we had a ton of different things thrown at us. We had injuries, like my very good friend and crewmate Rudy hurt his shoulder on the second episode, and he was our newest member at that time, right, that we prepped all this stuff around him. So I mean, that was way more stressful just because of having one member taken out.
Yep.
A lot of the prep work we had to adjust.
Yeah, so. And how do you adjust on the fly? Because that's the way it goes. And in between your seasons, like 3 and 8, what, 6 years had passed?
About
2009, I think, to 2015.
Six, yeah.
Yeah, about that.
Six years.
That's a long time, gosh. Right?
That is a long time.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of you guys from 3 returned for season eight. I was like, that's good though that you were able to get that many people back, because oftentimes, you know, crews, people come and go and things like that.
Like I said, we're all friends, so we always keep in touch. We have sessions, and you know, like, they people went off on tour and then we came back together and started practicing weekly, and then once we decided to actually do the show, we were practicing every single day again.
How different did the experience feel the second time around in terms of now you have, I mean, Kinjas are in there. You know, I mean, like, you had, who else was in there with you guys? Super Crew, of Super course. Crew. We Are Heroes, mm-hmm. I Am Me. I'm missing someone else. Oh, Electrolytes. So yeah. That's a huge crew.
Definitely. I mean, and they're all legitimate champions in their own right. Mm-hmm. And they have they have new members as well, and everything's, you know, like, all those different things play into it, because when you have new members, you have new material to throw out. And Kinjas, you know, like, they're practically a new crew, even though they had some alumni from ABDC in past seasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like you kind of just have to focus on yourself and then do the best routines that you can, so and see how it pans out and do all you can.
And it came down to what, you and Kinjas?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, when you look back on that, that's an amazing final battle, honestly.
Yeah, we have so much respect for a lot of the kids. Because we grew up, we're in the same generation of dancers with them. And some of the guys in the crew lived with some of the guys in Kinja's before, you know. So
what
it's a weird situation.
Yeah.
It's a tight-knit group, or just in general, ABDC is a smaller dance community in itself.
Right. So when you win in 3 and then you win in 8, did the wins feel differently to you?
Definitely. Like the first time that we won, it was more like we thought we were going to completely just put everything we had out, and we always felt like we were an underdog, especially against B-Freaks, because a lot of us thought that this is the best like girl group that's ever been assembled.
Right, B-Freaks is amazing.
And they choreographed and went all over touring, and then at that time, like, Quest, we didn't really do anything. We had some people on So You Think You Can Dance individually, but as a crew, we weren't really known. And we just wanted to put our stamp as a group together. And so when we won, it was a complete surprise. If you see our reactions, half of us are crying. This is the first time I've ever seen anyone cry. We're
what's
like,
what's happening?
We're like, yeah. And then for me, I was like, so many things, so many emotions that I haven't felt before were going through. And then
that was your season 8 win, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. The season 8 win felt completely different just because of the journey that we went through was different, because we were definitely older. And we even said that this will probably be the last time that we ever do anything like this, because, you know, everyone's getting older and having different careers.
But you guys aren't old. Just we'll throw that out there.
But and in general, I think during the whole entire season, we were only sleeping 4 hours a day because of the extra work that... It felt like a passion project, mostly. Mm-hmm. We were putting in extra work. You know, we were working with production a lot more.
And Nappy Tabs,
Nappy Tabs.
We're working on that season.
They're like our parents.
They're the best. I just interviewed them the other day because they're working on a Disney. They did the Disney special that's coming up. And I can't keep up with them. They were in Dubai, and then I was talking with them, and they were at the airport on their way to New York. And I was like, didn't you just come from Dubai? They're amazing. And they've got so many projects coming up.
They're so efficient in how they work, too. You know, and they give off, you know, you're never afraid to ask them for help, or you know, say like, we're completely stuck on this, what we need some suggestions, because people are freaking out. They just have an amazing like aura around them that where they can create and make things effective for camera.
And a good eye. And that's something that's important. I think a lot of people don't understand what there's many different I would say names or job titles for this, but creative producers, executive producers, creative directors. We hear a lot of that thrown around television. I don't think people understand. But so if you guys were struggling with, say, a move and it wasn't working on camera or wasn't working on stage, how would Nappy Tabs help you just kind of solve the problem?
A lot of the stuff would be transitionally and they would just give suggestions and try. And like they were always working with the camera people too to try and get the best shot that they could. So even if it was small, like going straight into the camera or anything, like the small things, it wouldn't necessarily read as well for the crowd. But you know, the end game is to make a good video project, and for
it's being shot for TV, even though there is a live audience there. So
yeah, so just having that experience given to us was a learning process too. Some of the other guys, like Hawk and them, have better experience too in like putting in film. So just having an extra two people helping us out with that when we needed it.
It's an external eye too, because you know, you and Hawk and everyone else, you're performing. So sometimes it's hard to extricate yourself from that.
Exactly. And they can see it live too. So, we have immediate, and that just cuts down on time, especially when you have such little time when you're putting these things together.
Yeah, it really is a short amount of time.
Yeah, especially on stage too.
Yeah, and I think people don't realize that. Even just kind of referencing what I just talked to Nappy Tabs about, they were talking about at the end of the, even though it's on stage, at the end of the day, you are choreographing for the camera, because it's a TV show. but they were working in Disney World, and they were literally like, we had people that were visiting the park that day, and we couldn't, there were certain things we couldn't do because we couldn't interrupt people that had paid $150 to come to Disney. I mean, but it's, it is the same thing too, because at the end of the day, you're really choreographing for the people that are sitting at home in the living room, even though there's people that are, thank goodness, being there, you know, giving energy to what you guys are doing in the studio. So it's kind of a funny, you kind of have to have two brains about it in some ways.
Definitely. And just getting the reaction from, like I said, like what we like to do live shows just because of the energy of the crowd. So, so it's that balance too, that we have to learn film and live audience. You know, it's like, well, we do a lot of like fan interactions, and it sometimes doesn't read, so we have to change it a little bit.
Right, because you might be, like, if you're on stage, you might be, like, calling out to that person, but really, when you're choreographing TV, you have to go out, hey, like, to them, and you're like, I don't even know who's on the other side of this, but, yeah it's an interesting thought, though, when you have to sit there and really keep the energy up for people here, but, again, it needs to read here at the end of the day, so... and you guys did a great job of that because, by the way, you got an Emmy nomination into an Emmy win. and I was telling you, because I did cover this whole season of Emmys, which to me, and I said, I just thought it was a wonderful year because dance was well represented. You know, we had Anthony Morigerato, thank you, sorry, for Tap, and Travis in there, and Derek Hough, and Kat Burns, who also won, and you guys for America's Best Dance Crew. And I just think it was really showcasing what dance was doing right now in the television industry.
Yeah, definitely. I think just in general, for us to be nominated was insane because we're a dance crew, and it's not something that we were never really expecting. Mm-hmm. So when we got into that space of nominations and seeing who we were going against, you know, like Derek Hough and Travis. And
yeah, they're like the kings of, that category, really. Yeah.
So they won and been nominated so many times, and we're like, wow, dang, this is where we are right now.
I know. Did you guys have any... did you have an easy time putting together your Emmys package? Because you guys did Runaway Baby. You did, what was it, Take You There, and then Summer Thing, right?
Yes. I think those were our favorite pieces that we put together during that season. So it wasn't too hard to pick which ones. I think performing the girl piece, the big main piece, was fun. Well, we put that into... the World Choreography Awards nominations.
Yes,
but,
you did.
But that's more of a fun one. But
it was for Emmys.
For Emmys, we wanted to.
You have to be strategic too when it comes to the Emmys. I don't think people like realize that you have to be like, is this show like we have to show like one level and one thing, another color here, and show your abilities because I think that's important.
Yeah, I think just showing some sort of versatility definitely helped when we had these different routines put up.
Did you have any guidance from the show itself? Because some shows will say, we'll help you put the package together. Here are some ideas that we have of the dances that should go on it.
I'm not sure if they actually helped us pick which ones. But they were supportive through the whole entire thing. And they were so excited. Because I remember when we first went into the meetings with Warner Horizon, they were like, if you guys come back, you know, it's like we can submit it for Emmys. We could do this, do it all that. And we're like... okay, I mean,
yeah, you're like talk.
You're probably saying to everybody to like,
right,
you know, but in general, like we never thought that was even a possibility for us to get nominated.
Right,
I mean, I knew we could submit, but to actually be nominated, we're like, what?
There are a lot of submissions too. You know, when we are at the Emmys choreographers reception, it's always fun to see what was submitted, and it is. Across the board stuff that you've never even seen. You're like, oh my gosh, that was a cute number that was on the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon. I mean, it encompasses so many different types of shows. I think that's what's so fascinating.
Yeah, we actually saw, I think there were like almost 100 submissions video. And when we went to the Emmy reception before the nominee reception, we got to see who submitted. And we're like, wow, this is like... a big pool of talent that we're lucky enough to be a part of in this nomination.
It's overwhelming to watch because you see prior Emmy winners, nominees, you see people that have won Tonys that are submitting for Emmys. Mm-hmm. And it's really kind of incredible just to see how it plays out. And you're like, oh my gosh, out of all these incredible submissions, they whittled it down to five and we're a part of that. And I, it's a peer group nomination. So what I think, just so people understand the process, it's actually a panel. And I think that this past year, I know for 2016-17, it was, I think, 12 people in total that kind of like got together and voted on everything. And I had Vincent Patterson, who was on the panel this year. Cool. And I had him on and he's like, oh, we just picked the winners last Sunday. And I said, you said winners. And I'm like, there had to be.
Oh,
there had to be two, which there were this year. And then I started in my head going, I think it's Mandy and Travis. And people were like, no, it's Mandy and Derek. I'm like, it's Mandy and Travis. But for your year, what I loved, because I was backstage at the Creative Arts Emmy, and they're like, there are two winners. It's not considered a tie. It's called two winners. And to hear that it was Kat Burns and then Quest Crew, we were all like, this is amazing. Were you guys shocked, dumbfounded? What was that? What in your head did you register of like, oh my gosh, we just won?
Yeah, that was. I feel like every time that we win something, it's always surreal for me. Like if you do any type of surprise to me, I'm always like, what's going on?
You're like, wait,
it doesn't
so
really
confused.
Register. I think for a good like 3 months after, none of us really registered what happened because we would do a couple interviews after and it's like, oh, what have you been up to? And then we'd be like, and we won an Emmy. We'd be thinking about other things and we're like, wow, it's like, it still seems like a dream that actually happened because it was so out of like the realm of our consciousness.
And I think we had gotten to a place and where you're just like, okay, it's going to be a Travis win, or maybe it's going to be a Derek win, or sometimes Mandy Moore is in there. Maybe she'll finally get her Emmy. And it took till this year to get her Emmy, but
yeah,
it's insane. But I think it's important because I feel, and I do think that the category is going to change, is going to take another dramatic turn for this coming season because World of Dance is going to get thrown into this. Right. And I feel like, again, we'll have more broad categories represented, which I appreciate because I'm like, it's not just contemporary dance that's out there. It's not just ballroom dance that we see on TV.
Yeah, definitely World of Dance had so many different types of dancers on that, and it gave like a good platform for people to see the differences in at like such a high level. So, you know, it's like
Keone and Mari. We've talked about that.
Yeah, Keone and Mari's pieces were insanely creative. And
I love the Kinjas, what they did on the show, too. I thought they did some really nice work. Yeah.
I feel like so many people stepped up their game for it. And because of it's a network television show, you know, it's like NBC is huge. So
Jennifer Lopez is huge, too.
Yes.
You know, when she's your judge, you're like, okay.
Yeah, definitely. And man, it's just refreshing to see a platform that you can express yourself pretty much fully without that many restrictions at all. So
it's a big deal. Now, I heard that you guys were asked to do World of Dance Season 1, and you guys just decided that wasn't the right thing. Are you in the reality show game or out of it for now?
I think for right now, we're stepping away from reality competition just because everyone in general is focused on individual careers. We still dance together.
Mm-hmm.
We still practice. But
at the Quest Learning Center.
Well, I mean, like, whenever we can get together. Yeah. It's like sometimes we'll practice over at Live Art or some of the other dance studios, depending on like where everyone is at.
Not in Artesia. It's a little far out.
Sometimes we have a lot of new members too that probably won't want to drive out there. But I think as for reality television competitions, we're kind of chilling because like I said, when we go into something, we prep a lot and we have to put in that time because we don't want to put in something half-assed.
And you shouldn't. You should, especially when you're going to go on broadcast television in front of Jennifer Lopez and Derek Hough. And
definitely. Yeah. we want to come in a little more confident than scared.
We threw it together. Well, and I'm going to know if you are lying or telling the truth because they start taping World of Dance January 9th. So if you guys aren't rehearsing right now, then I know you're telling the truth.
Well, we're still practicing.
But
it's a different process for sure.
Looking at your eyes, making sure they're not shifty. Because I know people aren't supposed to. I know he's like, I'm looking. I'm not telling. No, Hawk had said the same thing to me even in September. He goes, I'm not really sure if season two would be something that we're just interested in right now.
Yeah.
He had told me, I guess when we were at World Choreography Awards in 2016, I want to say, that he wanted to do dance at the Tokyo Olympics. Did that ever come to fruition?
I'm not sure if there's any talks into it, but that would be amazing.
It's coming up.
Yeah, I know. Wow. That would be amazing. Because I'm Japanese as well, American.
Yeah.
But
it's what 2020, right?
Yeah, 2020.
We got to put the feelers out for that, because I just think for you guys, I think it would be such. First of all, Olympics is. I'm such a fan of Olympics. I'm like the Olympics geek for 2 weeks. Don't talk to me. Which means coming up in February, don't talk to me, anyone. But I think obviously where it's in Tokyo, I think it'd be special for.
We have quite a few members that have Japanese descent, as mm-hmm. well as one of our members is based in Japan. So he's the world record holder for most head spins.
How many can he do?
143, I think.
Can you do head spins?
No.
Okay. I was unfortunately, like, you're aerial, aren't you?
Yeah, we're a little bit more specialized. I jump around and then he stays on his head. My mom wouldn't let me when I was growing up. And I had cervical spine surgery, so that's probably not a good idea to do it.
Oh, gosh, no. That's a lot of head spins, though.
Yeah, Aichi, he's amazing. But, hopefully he'll break it again pretty soon. It's insane. It looks like a video game.
So obviously you have members that are all over the world then. I know Brownie's from Hawaii, which is obviously mm-hmm. the U.S., but it's a good six-hour flight from here.
Yeah, we have three members from Hawaii now.
That happen? We love.
Yeah, Mark Villiver, he's done stuff with Dietrich Stomm.
So You Think You Can Dance? We just saw on tour.
We're pretty close with So You Think You Can Dance also, just because of the alumni that we have in there. And so he was the first one, and then after that, some of the other Hawaiians on our crew moved out here and started sessioning with us, and they were like minded and had energy. So we just liked hanging out with them, and they had a good attitude, and it's like we wanted to teach them our process, which is hanging out and practicing and a lot of bonding. So we got really close with them.
You've had women in your crew before, haven't you?
Yes, we had one member.
One, yes.
Lydia, and she's an amazing singer and songwriter, so she's been focusing more on that, and obviously an amazing dancer.
What was that like, having a female dynamic in the crew? Because that does change. You know, it's a bunch of guys, and then sometimes you add in a female touch, it changes it up a little bit.
Yeah, Lydia's like our little sister. I mean, she's in her mid-20s. We've known her since she was, 15 or 14. So we love supporting her, and I think just having her... She was way better at choreography than a lot of us. I think just because of her background of dancing with other companies as well and coming in. So I think the dynamic is pretty much the same, because she's, to us, one of the guys, even though she's a female in the group.
I get it. It's like West Side Story. You know, they've got the one girl in the gang, and she's like, just follows along with the guys.
Yeah. But, I feel like she's not a tomboy at all, too. So it's like.
That's good, though. It's like that. She's got, she's an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. She's super talented. We're so proud of her.
Oh, I love that. I want to ask also, because you guys did probably, the party anthem. For LMFAO, video. Party Rock Anthem. I mean, it's one of those songs that you hear over and over and over and over. But that looked like it was such a fun video to shoot. You were in one of the back lots here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, we shot that at
I was trying to look. I'm like, it didn't look
Warner
like Paramount.
I think it was Warner Brothers.
It was Warner Brothers. I was like, it doesn't look like Paramount.
That was a long time ago, 2011.
Wow.
Is when we shot that. And at that time, too, it was, it's funny because on our third season of ABDC, we used, I'm in Miami, that was one of their first singles, and just how we got hooked up with them was we did like Kiss Wango Tango, and we walked past each other and both of us stopped, and then we looked at each other and then that's how we got introduced to them. And then fast forward a couple years later, Red Foo from the crew ran into Hawk at the movie theater.
So random here in LA.
And then he's like, "Oh, I think we have a project. We'd love for you guys to come in and choreograph and do that stuff." And that was the start of our relationship for the next few years, at least, of doing videos with them and touring.
That's really incredible. And for people to understand too, like, first of all, they met at Wango Tango, which is our local radio station does a huge concert. They call them different things around the country too, different types, but they all do the same type of thing. It's not Clear Channel, but iHeartRadio, I think, does it. So it's just one of those things that I'm like, from there, you briefly meet each other, and then all of a sudden, look what blossoms, and it kind of comes back full circle.
Yeah, it was really cool because we kind of grew together, because at that time, they got thrown into, we didn't know that it was going to be a number one hit at that time. And it's just funny how things work out, and they were so cool. It didn't feel like how usually like an artist and like dancers feel. It felt like a collaboration with them throughout the whole entire thing.
What's it like going on tour? Because for an artist like that, and I mean, it's a big deal. It really is.
Yeah, I think we have a very different view on how tours go, just because, as you know, LMFAO is a party, and the party rock crew, they're just...
Having a good time.
You know, and we had some of their dancers too, and we get to go to all these different clubs and after DJ gigs and, you know, like party in it. And you know, we kind of had that rock star life type of feel for a while.
It's kind of fun, isn't it? I mean, it was just a really little fun sliver of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I could sustain something like that for like 5 years, 10 years or anything, but to get to do it for, you know, a small amount of time, it's like, all right, I did that. Check.
Definitely. It was, yeah.
You've got stories, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I think the other guys have a little bit more stories than I have, but... But yeah, it's definitely a different reality when you're on tour, and especially in that type of setting. They're such fun guys to be around, and the party rock crew guys that they can party, and we had to collaborate, and I'm saying collaborate, but pretty much just party and learn their ways.
Stop, collaborate and listen. Yeah. So I want to know, what is Quest Cruise? Obviously, you're performing together, but what is your next goal together? Do you have one, or is it just kind of like, we're kind of loose on this right now?
Oh, yeah. I think in general, we still have like our dance backgrounds, and that's what brings us together a mm-hmm. lot of the time. But for right now, it's just having people or like gigs come up and then seeing if we want to collaborate on different pieces or anything for television media, or mm-hmm. Specifically if they ask for us. A lot of the members are working on different things in the entertainment
yep.
Industry.
Mark
so
just finished tour.
Just finished tour. Some of the guys like Hawk and Fang, they're doing more choreography mm-hmm. and Dietrich has his video.
It's his YouTube channel.
And Ryan collaborates with him, and so is Fang. And like Rudy and Hirano, they're working more on music production. Mm-hmm. A couple of us are doing more stuff in film. Like, I'm starting to act more. And Joe is doing directing.
You did a ton of stunts, didn't you, for a long time, too?
Yeah.
A lot of stunt work.
That's how I got into SAG, was doing stunts.
Yay for SAG. You got nominated for a SAG award, didn't you?
The ensemble for Indiana Jones was nominated for SAG stunts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's where did you shoot, here in Los Angeles, or did you one of the remote locations?
That was in Universal and at Downey Studios, which isn't there anymore, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, that was pretty crazy because we got to see Steven Spielberg,
Harrison Ford
work together and have them talk. It was kind of nostalgic because I grew up watching Indiana Jones, so it's really cool to be a part of that franchise.
You literally saw Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones in person.
Yeah.
That's brag. I would be bragging about that all the time.
Yeah, but that was a crazy week just because of the prep work. We were Warriors. Actually, Brian was, Hirano from the crew, he was working on it as well. But the prep work for the makeup and everything was about 6 hours. So we got in at 2 a.m., did that, and then we had to work all day. So
did you sleep in the chair when they did the makeup? Were you able to do that?
It was a little cold.
Oh, no. Because sometimes they have the chairs, and if you're in the trailer, you can sleep in the chair because they're one of those reclining chairs. They're great.
No, we didn't have those. No. We were just laying there and having people put stuff all over us.
So I know. Movies are not that glamorous when you make them. They're a lot of hard work.
Yeah, I just worked on another movie this past month, and I had a lot of prosthetic work done for just wounds and things.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a little tedious going in and out, but, you know, that's why you get paid.
That's why I get paid. And I'm always fascinated with, like, makeup artists. Like, Rick Baker, I've interviewed him a couple times, and I always want to ask him 18,000 questions. He's probably like, holy cow. You know, like, that's enough with the questions. But I think it's fascinating that they're able to create – they call them makeups with the plural. Have you listened to the makeups that we did? And they use the word appliances because appliances are like some of the special effects that, you know, if your wound is oozing and things like that, which is gross, but it's kind of cool when you're a part of the process.
Yeah, it's cool to take some pictures and be like, I freaked out my girlfriend last month because I showed her. He's like, oh, there was an accident on set. And then she's like, I hate you because it's like, it's so out there that you wouldn't think would be possible to look real.
You're like, that's disgusting, but it looks good.
Yeah.
Well, we are at the end of the show, believe it or not. I told you it'd go by pretty fast, right? I know. I think people get daunted. Like, it's an hour. But I just always like to ask people, in 5 years, where do you think you will be career-wise? What are your goals?
Well, hopefully I'll be winning an Emmy for acting or in a different category. Focusing more on that craft. I've been going I went to school for a few years, and I'm starting to work more in that side of the industry.
All right.
Hopefully that.
We will look for you on the big screen and the small screen, because there's a ton happening in TV. So I don't ever want to eliminate, with all the stuff that's going on streaming and Hulu and Netflix, there's a lot of opportunities, which is awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. I know. Have a happy Thanksgiving, too.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I know. And if anyone's wondering why I'm so dressed up and he's casual, I'm on my way to the Dancing with the Stars finale, so I look overdressed.
I'm not.
I know. But he looks good. But I was like, I walked up to him, and I'm like, sorry. I look like I'm totally like going out, which I am. But tell everyone where they can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram, Steve Tirada. Same thing with Twitter. Everything's Steve Tirada. And follow Quest Crew.
Follow Quest Crew. We so appreciate it. All right, guys, we will be back next week, and we are finally going to have our first ballerina, Joy Ann Womack, who's got an incredible story. First American ballerina hired by the Kirov. So, and she'll be here in Los Angeles. So we've got an exclusive with her. And you guys, of course, have a wonderful and happy, safe Thanksgiving. We are grateful for all of you. We want to thank you here, of course, from Popcorn Talk and Dance Network. See you all soon.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.